Should I do it how Dan does it, or I just do this?
No.
We all do it on the count of three.
Yeah, should we all do it on the count of three? Right?
I see what you're all doing.
Hello! We all tried to be DM Dan at that one time. Yeah. And it didn't quite work. But hello.
What are we all doing here then?
We're here, like Dan's in an editing coma at the moment, so we thought we would just take over the channel for a bit, like, before he comes to. But we're going to call this, what should we call it?
Algernon's Angels.
Algernon's Angels, that's it. This is our part of the channel where we're talking about sort of theories, conspiracies, ideas that we've had regarding the story that have not yet come to light. So we've had like a little chat that's not had Dan in it, and we've been coming up with theories about sort of like who certain NPCs are, who, you know, what things are going as, and obviously none of that is actually, I don't think anything has actually conspired yet since we've been coming up with these theories. Like we think we have one that has Dan has dropped small hints of potentially where it might be going. So I think the biggest one which we can start off with is tarot.
The purple lady.
Of the many dragons, which one is the purple dragon? Because I'm still learning the lore.
Spoilers on what the theory is.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
our theory is that tarot is actually related to is either this certain god or is a, you know, an acolyte of this
like
god,
like an agent or a sort of embodiment of perhaps.
If people want to have a little chinwag about that, I will pull up the pantheon.
Because, she's infuriating. She kind of acts as if she's more of an observer than an active participant in the world of Elysia, in the bubble, which kind of was the first real sign, I think, that something was up with her, and that she may not just be this mortal. Is she Lorivar?
She's Lorivar, and there was that part where Dan said she looks Lorivar, but something is not.
There's something not right. So we started to think, is she some kind of higher power? Is she that? Yeah.
And when Atta looked at her through the goggles, and she was like everything everywhere at once.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
So her name is Melodani. I think that's how it's pronounced.
Which dragon is that?
That's the Reveler. So she is purple. Okay. And
is she divine or arcane?
She is divine. Okay. And her... So every dragon has like two things to them. So with Aya, who most people have heard of, that's order and light. And Akan, who have other... So it seems like all of the divinity dragons, they have some two little bits to them. While Icon is like evocation. So Melodani has twilight and trickery, which is so a reveler. So obviously someone who revels in what is happening.
Yeah.
And twilight and trickery, she's purple.
Yeah.
Algernon was the one who got this information. So JC, you might as well talk about it.
Yeah, so one of my motives for going to speak to High Priestess Isoth in the last episode was to float some of these theories in front of her and get them sort of semi-confirmed. She called her a trickster, and I started out by insinuating that she was a devil of some kind because I thought that the priestess would deny that more fervently than confirming anything that I had to offer, which you did.
So I think we've got some pretty strong motives to probably talk to Taro again. And we'll see how that plays out in downtime. Now that I know that Catherine can speak Draconic, that's obviously something we can bring into it as well. But yeah, there's definitely something about her that we need to find out.
She was besties with Tavarian, wasn't she, as well? Because they met at the beginning.
Well, I don't know if they were besties. What she did say, she'd been going around the city feeding the information about how the Veil is failing to key people, just because she wanted to see how the city would react to that information being seeded in key people. So Algarve, who's the head of, was the head of the city guard, or the black guard rather, Tavarian as a sort of celebrated local leader, and then a few other people, the head of the church, a few other people. So they weren't necessarily besties, but Tavarian clearly knew her. But I don't know if our characters would know that. That was a sort of off-camera scene that we had as players, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But we've got Tavarian now.
Which...
So we need to do something about that.
Yeah. I mean, we don't necessarily have any theories regarding Tavarian, but I think we're now quite keen to have a chat with her.
Yeah, I think it would be interesting to talk to her.
I suspected from the very beginning that she had sort of foreseen her own assassination. Potentially, she was speaking about sacrifice.
And she was so calm about it at the end, wasn't she?
Yeah. And like one of my original like goals in that first episode was to speak to her and to try and like confirm what she thinks should happen. Like, what does she know what's happening? I didn't quite get there with the dice.
But now you have the chance.
Now we've got her spirit in a ball, getting chatted up by Wizard Ball in our base.
Wizard has been the worst decision, I feel like. Atta fully believes that he'll be useful at some point. But Errol,
he's keeping Tavarian's spirits up.
We had all those magical items we could choose from. And I was like, Wizard.
I keep looking back at that brooch, which could have... had us pretend to be any faction in the city.
Dan really tried hard to sell it to us as well.
Where is that now? Did we give it to the church?
We gave it back to the church.
Dorothy, can we steal it back? Steal it back from them.
Yeah.
Speaking about the church and its like fascination with like removing magical objects from existence, I kind of wonder what they do with them. There's a couple of different like I suppose theories that you could mess around with. Like, do they deactivate them in some way? Do they like, you know, blend them up into a soup and like
soup.
I don't know, in magical soup.
Soup.
Or do they like lock them away, or are they willing to use them? Because if they've been amassing
magical
items. I think that's what I was trying to get from the last downtime when Kavrin went to go talk to some people, but unfortunately I didn't roll very well, but we did learn about them obviously doing naughty things to the Sangravar, so that's hopefully a little bit of good information that we needed. Well, not great, like it's not wonderful to hear, but it's good to know.
Yeah, shall we talk about the church's plans for the Sangravar maybe?
Yeah, they're going to kill him.
They're just going to murder all the Sangravar in captivity, aren't they?
Yeah.
I think that there's like a machine in Elysia, and it needs components of divine magic and components of arcane magic to keep the bubble alive, and they feed it magic items, and maybe they also feed it Sangravar.
Make soup with Sangravar.
They make Sangravar soup.
Sangravar soup. I don't know. Like,
horrific.
I feel like we're gonna get underneath the city, and there's gonna be like all these. The prison, like, because I think in one of the I read like the city districts quite a lot when other stuff is going on, be like people are having scenes, and I kind of like check, oh,
you're
yeah, what goes
research.
On in this what goes on in this region. And I remember reading the prison area. I think there's like underground passages where like they send convicts to get rid of the mutant rats. Because I was like, mutant rats, eh?
That's interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah. The Sanguivar affliction comes from the connection to House Antelir. You obviously have a historic authority over Alicia.
Yes.
So it could be related to that. And I also think one of the things we picked up recently is Lady Antelir's crown of authority, which I know Dan made up on the spot, but it could be a good thing for us to use as like a spell component or like a item of magical significance.
We could summon the ghost through the crown if we have a item. I don't know,
because Algernon's core belief is that arcane magic is somehow the key to solving all of this. And it's like we've got the spirit of Tavarian, who is like the spirit of leadership. We've got the crown of authority. Those sort of neurons are connecting in Algy's head that we might be getting spell components to cast some kind of arcane blast of power.
Speaking of Algernon, let's move on to Blackthorn. What are theories about Blackthorn?
The main kind of wildcard conspiracy, the thing that I've written down, is that her heart, I saw in my latest vision of her, she has a crystal heart, which is similar to the golems that we found in Castle Antelope. They also had crystalline hearts, so maybe she's a construct of something or someone.
Do you think she might be an Antelir?
Yeah, maybe.
She's got glasses on.
Yeah, she does have glasses on.
She's also the only other person who I think is using foresight.
Maybe that's how you connected. Maybe she was also on a foresight bender when you saw that vision.
Yeah.
And she was actually talking to you. That would be cool.
I'm not obsessed with her or anything.
I like that y'all have like really like involved rivals, and Attas is just like some hot dude that...
Oh, don't worry, I'm sure Catherine will be very involved with him very soon. So.
On your behalf.
I fully endorse this.
I mean, to be fair, your rival's only appeared. He's only just appeared, so hopefully you'll have like a little bit more airtime as well.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that sooner or later we'll get Magpie's friend as well.
Yeah, Samuel. He's been missing from this whole arc because he's been in prison. Can we talk about the big reveal that there are ghosts everywhere all the time? Please.
Yes.
That was pretty alarming.
Everywhere?
Yeah, when we in the mausoleum, remember?
We
discovered that there were just ghosts floating around that weren't attacking anyone. And the myth that has been peddled to everybody all the time is that we need bubble because all of the ghosts have to be kept out. If a ghost comes out of a dead body at any point, it will go on a rampage, and that's why you always need to like whisk bodies away to the mausoleum, and they'll process it all there. And actually, they were just around, weren't they?
So we've never had any first-hand evidence that when person die, ghost bad. We've had evidence that when person die, ghost.
Because the body gets whisked away by the authorities all the time. And I assume there's been an aggressive marketing campaign ever since the bubble went up from the authorities saying, is Granny getting on a bit? Make sure you call us when she dies.
I mean, I guess it also depends on... Could it be what kind of ghost they are that is actually aggressive? Could it be like they are ghosts of Sangravars that are, you know, angry about how they were ousted from the city?
How they were turned into soup.
I don't think there may be that many, but...
Yeah.
there must be a reason why there are angry ghosts out there that want to drain people, but then there's completely chilled ghosts actually inside the bubble that no one can see.
It's a good theory. I think there could well be something like that.
I suppose one thing that I've been thinking about since the start, and I suppose this was one of Atta's whole things, is like, why do the ghosts want to get inside so bad? Like, is it that they just want to eat us? Or do they want to get to something? Like,
maybe they're cold. They're cold out in the void, and they just want to come in. If you go out into the void, they just run up to you going, ooh, warmth, warmth, and then they freeze you to death or something.
Or maybe it's like a disconnect between, like, if bodies have been processed or if something else has happened to the population of Elysia and it's happened since before Bubble, then, like, the ghosts are trying to get to something.
Yeah, could be.
Like, because I guess, like, if we're thinking about typical ghost lore, ghosts exist because unfinished business.
Yeah, sure. I can hear Dan singing to Daisy upstairs.
Oh no, it means he's waking up. Let's do one more then before we call that an ending. The head of the kindling.
The Infernite.
Yeah.
Infernite.
Do we think he's going to be someone that we will recognise once you take the mask off, like a Scooby-Doo situation? Is it going to be a new person? Is it going to be Fairfax?
It was Fairfax all along.
Could be Fairfax. Yeah, that's a good idea. I think he is someone who burned, and that's why he, like, developed his whole, like, impenetrable anti-fire suit and started using the sort of hellfire stuff that burns even rock, and has become obsessed with fire being the answer to cleansing Elysia. That's my theory.
That's why he dragged
Algar to the...
Well, I agree with that, and following on from that, I think, because I think Dan dropped it again in another episode where he's like, where betrayal and things like that cut sort of like a little bit extra. Do you think he was probably betrayed by Algarv? Because it's a big notice that he's got these, or he's also got like these orange goggles. Do you think he used to be part of the Blackguard? Because he's got the same, eyewear as they have in the helmets.
That soul-seeing eyewear. Although we haven't confirmed it's exactly the same type of goggles.
No, that we know that they're sort of orangey.
Yeah. It's a shame that Frieda made a bid to get in with him and failed so spectacularly. Got duffed up by Jeff.
Yeah.
Jeff. Maybe it's Jeff's the big bad. Who knows? Like,
is Jeff the big bad?
Jeff is the big bad.
Could be.
I also want to know what Umi has made. The perfect specimen.
The evolution.
Yeah, or something like that.
They needed spirits to experiment on the Hollow. And then, that elsewhere we had last episode was, Umi with Caleb looking at this next step in evolution. Bit alarming.
I wonder whether or not it's like the diving suit that we saw back when we did ransack the Hollow.
What, it's been like infused with spirits or something?
I think maybe even that it's been used to like test as something to go outside of the bubble. So that he can actually now... So he's kind of thinking like, oh, now I can go punch God or something like
that. I can destroy God.
Yeah.
I have no idea what the kindling leader would be, or I feel like I'm like doo 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 doo. I've got my wizard orb. I'm making weird things. Doo doo doo.
I think.
And then we've got. Oh, sorry.
Go for it, Errol.
I've been thinking about the leader of the Lodge Reticent as well. She seems...
Oh, Nefene. Yeah. She thinks arcane magic is the answer as well, doesn't she?
Yeah, it's interesting. And we have her favour as payment for that Castle Antilia job. Assuming we want to give the box to her, whatever the box is.
Are we going to look in the box?
Well, we already kind of know. Well, that's that being said, she said what it might be, whether or not it is that.
What did you say it might be?
Arcane focus.
Yeah, an arcane focus.
An arcane focus. Yeah.
Nothing harm in taking a peek. To see. Our time is almost up.
Yes.
Is there anything else that anyone wants to raise before we shake Dan awake?
What trauma are you going to go for, JC?
Hmm?
What trauma are you going to pick if you have to pick?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards Vicious for Algernon.
Ooh!
He's very eloquent and he's kind of very eloquent and as I think it would be funny if he's vicious and like just gives up on any kind of pretense of nobility when he's dealing with people he doesn't like.
He's very cool and collective a lot of the time, so yeah. Being vicious I think would be quite fun.
What about you, Cav, for Cav and Magpie? If you had to pick a, without like the context, if you had to go for one, what would you go for?
I guess Magpie maybe would go for something like obsessed or paranoid, possibly. Like this sort of paranoid that her cover's going to get blown or something like that, or kind of maybe. Just really obsessed with saving the city, like we have to do it. Like, well, no one else is going to do it. Just like at any cost.
Yeah,
I've got to save everyone.
I would say Cav may also go obsessed as well. But possibly cold or maybe even reckless as well. I know that Frieda's already a reckless.
Cold would be an interesting one for Kavrin because he's all about the interpersonal, like knowing when to turn on the charm and the warmth, like getting busy with people, like intimacy in his own way. So cold could be an interesting one where he feels just a bit cut off and just going through motion.
What about Atta?
I feel like it would be really hard for me from an RP perspective, but I feel like unstable would be fun if I could do it.
Oh, I'm Errol. I'm the most stable person ever. I can't necessarily roleplay unstable. Is that what you meant?
I feel like there's a... like, if you're playing like an unstable character, you really have to like lean into like the... the randomness of that, and
it depends what brand, what flavor of unstable she is, though, doesn't it?
I feel like it would be Umi vibes. I think it would be like just full, like, I can't remember where I left my bombs, sort of thing.
You're nailing it, you'd be great at it.
I feel like that kind of character trait is quite hard to do off the cuff, and I'm still learning good improv, so I think that's kind of a skill level where I haven't kind of got to yet. But I feel also maybe haunted might be fun if Dan was willing to also like half and half take the reins, like actual, maybe like actually possessed. And so there are just moments where Dan just does something with Atta, and I find out afterwards, like I wake up and...
So cool. Yeah,
that'd be cool. Maybe. I'm pretty sure he'd be up for that. Have a chat with him. And speaking of Dan, we're now going to go wake him up from his little coma. So thank you very much for watching. Thank you everyone for having a nice little chat about this.
Maybe we'll do this again.
Maybe we'll do this again sometime. If you like what you see, do subscribe to the channel, like the video. Obviously you can watch what we're actually going on about. If you watch the rest of the videos, we've got a fair few amount on the channel.
We've just done session 11, haven't we?
And if you want to see if we're going to actually do what we theorize, if we're going to look into it a bit more, you can watch into episode 12. Hit that notification button if you want to know more that's going on with us. And that's it for the cruise retrospective. We will see you in an episode. Bye.
Bye.